Let's turn together in the Bible and read the passage that's been selected for today. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 14, beginning at the first verse. Now, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the parables that Jesus told, and particularly the ones that our Vacation Bible School kids learned about, and so we're going to be learning along with them. We read from Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So, taking hold of the man, Jesus healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you arrive, and when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes, and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what kind of preacher do you want me to be today? I know some people really like the old-fashioned fire and brimstone kind of preacher, the kind of that yells and wags his finger at you. Some people don't respond well to that. Other people would rather that I was today a gentle, pastoral kind of preacher that provides words of soothing comfort for those who are troubled. You know, today, I have to kind of be both. Because in the story that we read together from the Gospel according to Luke, Jesus was both of those. There is a moment, there's a time in that story where Jesus is indeed saying words of judgment. And there is a moment in there where Jesus is giving very pastoral and comforting advice. Now, this story is really quite interesting. Jesus had been invited to a party. He was a bit of a celebrity. He was a teacher who had been getting noticed, and people were saying, "I want you in my house. I want to be associated with you." But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law also wanted him close because they didn't like him. They didn't appreciate his message, which they feared would undermine their own positions of privilege within society. So they said, let's get him close so we can listen to him and catch him in a mistake so that we can indeed get rid of this guy. Well, at this party, the door was open, I suppose, and a sick man came in who had swelling in his body. It's interesting that Luke was a physician, and he makes note often in the stories about the physical condition of people. And Jesus asked his host and these teachers of the law, basic question, fair question, is it good? Is it right to do good on the Sabbath or not? And they had no words. There was no answer. Okay. He says, well, let me ask you another question. If one of your kids falls down a well, or one of your animals falls down a well, on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath, would you go in and rescue it? And they had no words. There was no answer. Probably they didn't answer because the answer was so obvious. Of course you do good on the Lord's Day. Of course you rescue those who are in peril even on the Lord's Day. But that answer, though true, would have gotten themselves in trouble. So Jesus does the merciful thing, he does the good thing, he does the right thing, and he heals that poor man and sends him on his way. And then he teaches them a very deep lesson. And by teaching them, he was showing grace and mercy to them as well. And you know the story, we just read it, how there was a party that the man had prepared this lavish banquet, sent out the invitations, and when the time came, invited them to come in. It's time. And they all had excuses. One said, I just bought some property. I got to go take a look at it. Another said, I bought some animals. I got to go try them out. Another one said, I just got married. Well, you know, none of those excuses hold any water. They're nonsensical excuses for not going to the party. If anybody buys property, when do you go check it out? Before you buy it, of course. If you're a farmer, you say, I want to check what kind of soil is it. I want to see what kind of drainage there is. I want to know what's been planted in it before so I can make an intelligent decision if this is a good purchase. This man said, oh, I just bought it, so now I have to go look at it. That's crazy talk. The other man said, well, I just bought some oxen. I've got to go try them out, see if they're any good. Well, you don't buy oxen untried. You say, oh, I got to make sure these animals are sound, that their hooves are okay, that they don't have any physical problems, that they're not too old, whatever. But he says, no, I just bought them, so now I have to go try them out, see if they're any good. Well, duh, that's not the way it works. And then the man who said, well, I just got married, so I can't come to your party. Well, I don't know why getting married would prevent you from celebrating something. In the Old Testament, the only time that you are excused from something because of marriage is if you're going to war. It says in the Old Testament that someone who just got married would be excused from military service so that they can spend time establishing their married relationship. Going to a party is not going to war. And so the excuses were nonsensical. Jesus was telling this story to these people, these teachers of the law and these Pharisees, who were being nonsensical. Said, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? Is it right to rescue those who are perishing? And the answer is yes, but their silence was nonsensical. So those people were excusing themselves from the feast and were not going to experience the grace of God that is being offered to them. Now, because they wouldn't come in the story, the person throwing the party said, okay, go into the streets, go into the neighborhood around, and find anybody you can. And in a city like that, in that time, that place, there were lots of beggars. Who was on the street? People that were asking for alms, who the only way they could support themselves, the only way they could feed themselves was by begging. Please show mercy, put a coin into my hand so that I can feed myself. And those people were brought in. And even after they were in, there was still so much room that the owner said, now I want you to go out of town. I want you to leave our community, and I want you to go into the highways, out to the countryside, and whoever you find, stop them, tell them about this party, urge them, even compel them to come in that they might be blessed by the feast that has been prepared. Most people that interpret this parable, and I think they're right, say, what Jesus is talking about, when the people that are in the community, he's talking about the Jews of his day, the people that were in that household of faith, and the disciples were told when the evangelization of the world began to start at home. Tell your neighbors, tell those that are close. But that wasn't to be the end of the gathering in of people in the feast of God. Because then they were to go outside of the community, go to the highways and the byways, even to other nations, other cultures, that they might also be invited to share the feast of God. I am one of the people on the highways and the byways in this parable. I am not a Jew. I don't have that as my heritage. I am Gentile. And it is the grace of God that the invitation has come to me. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for the feast. So many are sharing in that grace and mercy. Now the day will come when we stand before the throne of God, and arrayed before that throne will be the banquet table, and we will eat and drink in the presence of God and experience joy and blessing like we can't even imagine today. But there's a foretaste of it. The beginning of that is what Jesus gives us in the Lord's Supper. And as we will eat and drink, as Sally has said, it's very small. It's not a five-course meal or anything. But it is the promise of the feast to come. So if you say with me that Jesus is Lord, and if you wish that you could be a disciple of Jesus, maybe you wish you could be a better disciple, maybe you wish you could start on the road to discipleship, this is the place to start. Let us eat and drink together. Let's go together to the table of the Lord.